Brother Dick, would you open for the word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to your house today. Lord, pray for all those who have been mentioned up here and needing prayer and their families. Let's pray for Billy while he's gone.
Yes.
They are serving Spirit JD now. Brings his lesson to us this morning. Give him our attention and we can leave here, feel your presence, and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. And our topic today is going to be prayer. Good topic. I like prayer and Jesus liked prayer. That'd be fine. Jesus liked prayer because he said his house is going to be a house of prayer. So here we are in God's house, and our pastor is sold on prayer. And he makes no beans about it. He doesn't hide it from anyone. But I ran across this little thing I want to read to you this morning. It says, does prayer change God's mind? The answer. This question can best be answered by breaking this down into two questions. Does prayer change God's mind? And does prayer change things? The answer to the first is no. God does not change his mind. And the answer to the second is yes, prayer changes things. So how can prayer change circumstances without changing God's mind? First of all, in order for God to change his mind, he would have to improve upon himself in some way. In other words, if God changed his mind, that action would suggest that his first way of thinking was deficient. There was a problem with it. But because we pray, he improves his plan concerning our situation. We change our minds when we see a better way to do something. We thought maybe plan A was good, but we realized that plan B was even better. So we change our mind. But since God knows all things, the beginning from the end, it is not possible for him to improve upon his plan that he has made. His plan is always perfect, and he has stated that his plan will prevail. You may say, what about passages like Exodus 32:14 that seems to imply that God repented or relented of his action? Well, the Hebrew word Nacham, N-A-C-H-A-M, and I probably butchered it. Other translations are repent or change one's mind can also mean sorrow. See, she's up there and she's ahead of me, ain't she? Also means sorrow or to be comfort, bring comfort. Genesis 6:6 is the first occurrence of this word in the reference to the Lord. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. This appears to mean that God had a second thought about his decision to create human beings. But since God's way is perfect, we need to look at an alternative understanding. And if we apply the secondary definition to the word translated regretted, we can understand this verse to mean that the wickedness of man brought great sorrow to God's heart, especially in light of what he must do to restore them. So, if prayer does not change God's mind, why do we pray? Does prayer change our circumstances? Yes, that's where we're going to go. God's delight in changing our circumstances in response to our prayers and of faith. Jesus instructed us to always pray and not to lose heart. 1 John 5:14 and 15 also reminds us that when we pray according to God's will, He hears and answers. The key phrase is according to His will. This will also include His timing. So if it's His timing and it's His will for something to happen that we pray and we ask about, then it happens, okay? We're not saying that God changed His mind because it didn't happen before, but now it's going to happen because we have prayed. We can think of it this way, okay? A father planned to give his daughter a car when she turns 16 years old. He knows by this time she will have a job. Laugh, right? She will be active in church and school activities and be able to pay for her own insurance. Doubtful. But he also planned to wait and to give it to her until she asked for it, because he wanted her to value such a gift. But at age 11, she began to beg for a car. She pleaded and she bargained, and she gets angry when on her 12th or 13th and her 14th birthday, there was still no car. She matured a bit and stopped asking. But then at 16, she approached her father in a more thoughtful way, explains her need for a car, and expresses her confidence that her dad will take care of this need. In a very short time, he joyfully handed her the keys. Did he change his mind? No. He had always planned on giving it to her. Did she need it to ask? Yes. That was part of his decision. In a similar way, our Heavenly Father invites us to ask Him for everything that we need. He delights to give it to us when it is within His plan. He knows that we don't always understand His timing, but He expects us to trust and to not doubt. Our prayers help to align our heart with His heart until His will is our greatest goal. So what's us changing our will to His will? He promises to listen and to grant the desires of our heart when our hearts are wholly His. And I thought that was great perspective, where we could bring things into perspective, that, you know, we pray and we ask God for things and we don't get them. Well, are the things we ask for, are we asking for it to be God's will and His timing, or are we just asking for it because it's something that we've seen on TV or a latest ad or fad or whatever, and we decided we wanted it, so we asked for it. Have no idea what you're going to do with it when you get it, okay? But if we pray His will, and if it's a need that we have, and He knows it's a need, and His timing, which His timing is always perfect, His plan is always perfect, and He never changes His mind. Okay.
Okay. I just have a question. I understand that analogy, but what about by your scripture, Exodus chapter 32, when they broke the law and it grieved God?
Grieved Him.
So, did He really not mean that He was going to consume? My Bible says consume His people. So when Moses prayed, he repented. So in that situation, was God not going to destroy His people?
Look at this aspect, okay?
That's what I'm wondering.
As your children grow up and you tell them things that are good for them. And sometimes do we not use the threat tactic on them to get their attention to do the right thing?
Oh, and that's why I was asking. I wanted to clarify that.
That was the way I looked at it.
Okay.
What about it? David, you got any?
I just listened.
You're listening? Well, I understand.
So
but yes, sir. Dick.
One of my favorite books in the Bible has always been the little short book story of Jonah.
Okay.
Anytime you got a great big fish picking up a swallow, man, I'm interested in that. But
that's right up your alley.
This is
a big fish I never caught.
You know, God sent Jonah to Nineveh to tell him, 40 days, y'all are going to be destroyed.
Good
one. And they repented. The king repented and the people repented. And chapter 3, verse 10 says, when God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared upon them, and he did not do it.
He did not do it. Didn't say he didn't. Did he change his mind or did it? But his plan all along was for them to be saved. Okay. But his plan all along, Dick, was for them to be saved. So they changed, they repented, and they came in line with his will.
The thing comes back and says, prayer changes things.
It does.
Yeah.
It says what? Prayer changes things.
Oh, yeah.
David?
Y'all say prayer changes things. That's one of the, you listen to that Southwest Radio Ministry, Washburn on the Wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's their motto. God is on his throne.
God is on the wall.
On his throne.
On the throne. Yes. He didn't really change his mind. He knew all along what was going to happen, and we don't in our little finite minds that we have. Okay? Like an example, and this was 40 years ago. I'd made a statement when I got out, just as I was getting out of the service after Vietnam, I made a statement that I would never go back in. I would never go back in. I was even willing to bet everything that I had that I would never go back in because I didn't like it and didn't want to. That wasn't my lifestyle. 2 years and 7 months later, I was back in. Okay? But that was, the best course of action for me, okay, because God had blessed me. Anything else? All right. Seven prayer points that we're looking at. And the first one is to pray for unbelievers to be saved. Pray that people's hearts will be opened to repent and their sins and confess Jesus as Savior. To pray that every person in the world would be able to hear the gospel and the word of God in their native language. And the scripture we have, I know a lot of you are not really on the 24/7 prayer list, so you don't have all this information, some of you do. And that's what I wanted to kind of cover today and to go through it, okay? I don't see that there will be time to read all of the scripture, but we see in scripture, Matthew 9, 37 and 38 talks about the harvest field. The field is plentiful, but that there is not enough laborers working in the field. We see that in the Good News Club. How long did it take us to get the Good News Club started here? I think it's been something that Cal had tried to do for 2 or 3 years or so, maybe longer than that. And finally, in God's timing, okay, I wanted it right away. And I know Cal probably did too, but it had to be God's will and for people to be saved, yes, and his perfect timing. So in God's timing, he brought it about. The last Tuesday of January 2023 was the first club meet. And I think there was 5 saved the first night or something like that. Not the first? Yeah. But anyway, God's will. And as of last Tuesday, 16 children out of about 37 have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. Okay? So God's will, his timing, and everything according to his perfect plan, okay? And in Matthew 24:14, it talks about the gospel of the kingdom being preached in all the world, witnesses to all nations in their own native tongue, which was in line with our prayer request here that we're going to be praying on that first one, okay? That they would hear in their native tongue. And he's long-suffering. 2 Peter 3:9. You know, he's not slack. He's long-suffering. He waits, you know. Some people say, well, why hasn't Christ come back, the condition the world is in? Well, when the gospel is preached in every nation and they hear it in their own language, then that will be fulfilled. So it'd be a point in time when any time God could say, I'm going to get my children and bring them home. And then the second prayer point, I'm not going to hit every scripture, Miss Ellen, I'm going to bounce around. The second prayer point is to pray for national spiritual awakening. Pray that Jesus will revive the church and awaken our nation to his greatness and supremacy. Pray that God will pour out his spirit on America, forgive our sins, and to heal our land. Pray that millions of Americans will be convicted by the Holy Spirit, repent of their sins, and turn to God with all of their heart. We pray and we preach and we teach 2 Chronicles 7:14. We hear it so much that we've all probably memorized it in our head. We probably everyone know. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, that is something that we have prayed over and over and over again when it comes revival time, trying to get the church revived. Okay. And, you know, revival is, I know a lot of people have got saved during revival, but revival is for the church to be revived, to get back what you had before, what you have lost and what you have walked away from, okay? Praise God that many people have got saved and become a Christian at a revival meeting because God had convicted their heart while they were there. But the revival is for the church, for us to get right. Just like we have an altar call every Sunday. The things that we have done during the week that has got out of hand, and maybe we have done 15 or 20 things and forgot what we have done, and we come to the altar, we ask for forgiveness, okay? The altar is there. Public confession, you know, we all have come up with a mentality of wanting to be private in our life. You know, we think we can sit in our pew, which we do a lot of times, and we pray and we confess our sins. We pray at home, different places we may pray, but to publicly come and to ask for forgiveness, not to the people. You're not asking people to forgive you. You're asking God to forgive you. It's all about Him. We're here for Him, to please Him, and not for Him to be pleasing us. Sometimes we get that role a little backwards, okay? Habakkuk. I probably messed that one up too, didn't I, Dick? Habakkuk. Chapter 3, verse 2 says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your works in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. You know, without mercy, without grace, we would really be in a lot of trouble. Okay? Third prayer point that we'll be praying for, and there's probably five or six more scriptures that pertain to that second prayer point. But as we look at the third one, the third prayer point is to pray for unity between pastors and churches. Pray that denominational and theological and that ethnic walls will come down so that pastors will love each other, pray together, and to serve each other. You know, our pastors, we need to be praying for our pastors. Not only our pastors, but we need to be praying for all the other preachers too. We need to pray for them that they'll all come in line, okay? Baptists, we don't have it all right. Catholics, they don't have it all right. The Presbyterians and the Methodists and all these denominations do not have it all right, okay? The church is made up of the people, people of many different denominations. If those denominational barriers were broken down, where we do not have things that hinder us and say, oh, well, we partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Some churches do. Matter of fact, the Christian church, First Christian Church downtown, they do every week. I think the Lutheran do every week, okay? Am I saying they're wrong? If you look at the Lord's Supper table, it says, do this as often as you eat, remember me, okay? We're to remember the Lord when we do it, and it's there before Him every week, so as often as we meet. How often do we meet? Not saying they're 100% right, not saying they're 100% wrong, not saying we're wrong. But we none of us has it all together. None of us has everything right. It would be nice if we did. It would. Yeah. Understand. Yeah. And to break down those denominational walls, to break down the theology, because there's the different theologies between the different denominations and the ethnic groups, we're all one. We're one race. As Cal says all the time, we're the human race, okay? So if we break all this other stuff down, and if we just stay, if we can focus ourselves on the one true God and follow Him, read His Word, and let Him speak to us, that's where we need to all be headed. But for the pastors to pray for one another, okay? And Cal goes to all these different prayer meetings where all these preachers are. Couple of scriptures for that third point is John chapter 17, verse 20 through 23, which says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So our witness and our testimony, as we tell other people about what Christ has done for us, other people can be saved, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved them as you have loved me. You know, God loves everyone. He always has. We're the ones that bring the problem into perspective. We're the ones that do the things that displease God. We're the ones that gets on other people's nerves and make them mad and things of this nature. And distrust, dislike. But God's perfect world with love, which we have broken up so many times. The fourth prayer point is to pray for family, to pray that Jesus will heal, restore, and strengthen every marriage and family. Pray that husbands will love their wives like Christ loved the church, and that wives will respect and submit to their husbands. Pray that the hearts of the parents will be turned toward their children, to love them and to raise them in a God-honoring way. Pray that children will respect and obey their parents. There's much said in many different areas about that. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 talks about the wives submitting to their own husbands as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. But you know, it goes on, and Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 talks about children obeying their parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, here we go, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Also, we as men, as fathers, as husbands, are to treat our brides, our wives, as Christ, to love our wives as Christ loves the church, to treat them with respect, with honor, with decency. It is a two-way street, this marriage thing. And so many times, people would like to take scripture and take it out of context, and they throw the women part out. You know, you're supposed to submit to me. No. God put us together. We're a couple. Betty doesn't go out here and do a lot of things that is against me. We do talk. She does submit, and I don't mean get down and wash my feet and stuff like that, although she does a lot of things, and all you women know about that, okay? Some of the chores that we don't do, the women do, okay? And that's not belittling them any. Let me get out of this, like Cal said, before it gets any deeper. What's that? Proverbs 31. That should get you out of anything, right? Anyway. But the family, it's a unit. It's put together by God. We work together as a well-oiled machine, or we can work against one another. I pray for a lot of these children that does not have a father figure in the home. A lot of men that would not stand up and take the responsibility of being the father, that wants to just run from place to place. Prayer point five. Pray for racial reconciliation. Pray that God will heal our nation of racism, and that God will use the church to stand against racial conflicts, violence, and prejudice. The church must lead the way in racial reconciliation by modeling love and respect for every person, regardless of color of their skin or their ethnical background. I want to read all the scriptures for this because they are great. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 and 13 says, "For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all the rich, all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Galatians 3:28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." And Acts chapter 10, verse 28 and verse 34 and 35 says, "Then he said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean.'" 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" Made me think of a situation that I read about where there was a person that was homeless that had come into the church. And the church was packed. He couldn't find any place to sit. And I pictured it as a big church like First Baptist downtown. And the individual came in and he walked down the aisle. And he came to the front and he sat down on the floor. The chairman of the deacons saw him come in. And everybody else did too, and they just kind of paid their attention and focus on him and not what the preacher was preaching. But the chairman of the deacons come in and sat down beside him. What an example of love, openness. John chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Do not judge according to the appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Have you ever, I'm guilty, have you ever seen something, looked at something, thought about something, and made a judgment right then? Okay. I think we all have. I'm not even going to give you an example of that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. "He who says that he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now." James 2:9. "But if you show partiality, you commit sin, and you're convicted by the law of transgressors. You know, I look at God and I think about him not showing partiality and him not judging at first appearance or first glance at me. And that he doesn't compare me to someone else. So therefore, I am not separated. He looks at us all collectively. Individually, but collectively. Okay. And he shows no partiality. Because what he does for you, he does for me. There's a song written, something like that, isn't there? What he's done for others, he'll do for me. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. "So after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, all of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands." No partiality. Not a discerner of a person. All are the same. Human race, not other races, tribes, nations, not separated, all together. Think about heaven and how it's going to be. Think about us congregating with all these other denominations, because we're all one church, okay? And when we get along, how things are going to be. You know, it's all right, like Al says, to raise your voice in church. It's all right to say amen. It's all right to clap your hands and give God honor, okay? But sometimes we kind of draw back and we're kind of quiet and we're set in our ways and we don't want no one to look at us and maybe make fun of us. Maybe. I don't know. Prayer point six. Pray for life to be valued and protected through all stages of life, beginning at conception. Pray for God to break the culture of death in America and to restore a culture of life. Pray for legalized abortion to come to an end. Oh me. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. For you formed me, you formed my inner parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Before you were ever born, everything that you're ever going to do is written down. God already knows what we're going to do. Abortion. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Proverbs 24:11. Deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. Think about these poor mothers. The after effect of an abortion. How it's there ever before them and how it will haunt them for the rest of their life. Think about as they went. I think as I was reading that, I was thinking about as they stumble along the way going to the slaughter, going to the abortion clinic. Let's pray for them. Deuteronomy 21, verse 8 and 9 says, provide atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel, who you have redeemed, and do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel. An atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. So you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. All of that tying into sanctity of life. Life is precious. God made it. God has our days numbered. Who are we? We don't have the right to say that this child doesn't have the right to live. Seventh prayer point. Pray for the local national government leaders. Pray that God will give them wisdom to make wise decisions and to govern with integrity, justice, and mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and reverence. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authority authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. We'll come back to that because I know probably somebody wants to say something about that. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Titus 3:1-2 says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authority, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. And the last scripture is in Malachi chapter 6, verse 8. He who shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. When we think about our government and the leadership, and there's so many things that each one of us see that if we had the authority, we would change. We don't like a lot of things that we see going on, okay? And as I looked at that scripture, I thought about God knows who is in authority over all nations, everywhere. And I also go back to the judges, to where they wanted a judge, they appointed a judge, they had righteous judges, and they had judges that were not righteous. But the people put them in there. Well, where are we at in America? We have this thing called democracy, where we have the free election, and we vote, and one party wins, one party loses. Maybe every 4 years it swaps, or 8 years it swaps. Who knows? God's in control. I thought a long time ago, and I'd heard someone say, we have what we've asked for. It's harsh, and it's hard, and it's bitter to understand. But if we look at our country the way that we are, the things that we are against that are not in line with God's word, this might make you some of you mad. But, you know, we've asked for it as a country. We've asked for the leaders that we have. Whether it be right, righteous, or wrong, sinful. Myself, I'm going to take the authority of the Bible. Okay? Because God's word is right, it's holy, it's just, it's true. Good News Club. So that's where I stand. Our political parties are not following God's word, and I'm not getting into nothing politics today, okay? I'm going to leave it right there. Now, the floor is open. Hope Billy's back next week, don't you? Get back in Hebrews.
That first one in Romans.
It's in your handout. Yes. Matthew 6.
Jesus himself says that we are obligated to forgive others. If we don't,
We're not going to be forgiving ourselves. You're right.
You know, some people say, well, that's pretty harsh. Well, how can I get forgiveness of someone through Jesus? If I can't forgive the person, Jesus will show me how.
That's right.
He'll show me how.
But his word has authority.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anybody got anything? We're not going to drag it out.
Okay. You might get to sit and wait on your child for a couple of minutes, okay? Let's pray. Father, we do come to you and thank you for the day that you give us, Lord. Father, we pray for this 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayers. And Father, we pray that there will be enough churches involved, Father, to where the city can be prayed for, as Pastor Cal told the children, every second of every minute of every day of every week of every month for the year. Lord, it has changed cities in Texas, Father. And Lord, the scripture that we have that we can pray back to you is all your word, and it's according to your will. So, Father, we pray for you to have your way. Let us be submissive to you, Father, and you alone. Lead, guide, and direct us, Father, and bring us back at the next appointed time. Pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.